all six episodes.
And welcome to another Kent Biz Connect. And surprise, surprise, the theme of today's show
is obviously going to be all about money. And I didn't have my microphone on then, Brian. So having done all the complicated stuff of kind of, you know, bringing us in.
So yet again, none of what you've just said made any sense whatsoever.
No. So I'll start.
We like it like that, Trace, don't we?
I'll start again for the benefit of our listeners today. So, welcome, once again, to Kent Biz Connects, the radio show that promotes and connects businesses in Kent to do business. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, Martin White.
Good afternoon, Brian. And good afternoon, Tracy, our guest
good
for today.
Good afternoon.
Tracy from Pecunia, everybody, the credit management specialist. And for those of you who were listening and obviously managed to spot the Pet Shop Boys, let's make lots of money. That really is going to be the theme for our show today. And it's going to be really all about Tracy telling us, as business owners, how we can make more money in our business. So we're looking forward to hearing all about that, Tracy.
Or perhaps not about making money, but kind of getting hold of it and looking after it, are you, Tracy?
Yeah, being paid for everything you've been doing, getting, all that hard work.
Isn't that a novel concept?
I know.
Getting paid for the work we've done.
Paid.
Yeah. So that's going to be quite a lively discussion, I'm sure, and hopefully everybody can identify with that in some shape or form. But I think what we're going to do, Brian, before we come over to Tracy in the second half of the show, we're here for an hour. We're going to try and focus in on some of the brilliant things that are happening in the Kent business community at the moment. And I think what we've decided is that we're not going to focus on anything negative, are we?
We don't like negative. We don't like bad news. We're not the people. No, I didn't say that.
Steady.
We're not that three-lettered other channel that reports loads of bad news. We don't like bad news.
So think of us as the good news show.
Yes.
Everything we talk about is going to have a positive slant to it today.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So should we kick off?
So you're going to want something positive to do that.
Well, let's talk
about... What would you like to start with?
Let's talk about a fabulous networking meeting that we were at last Friday.
Ah!
In Maidstone.
Friday, 1st of March.
That wasn't BBN, was it, by any chance?
It was indeed.
It must have been BBN Maidstone. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And
Tracy wasn't there because she was rubbing shoulders in London with MPs and stuff, which we'll come on to later.
Now, I want to dispel a myth that people may not be able to book on for any of the BBN meetings because they're always full up. Mm. But the reality is, as I did last week, if you get in touch with Brian a couple of days beforehand, he's invariably had a cancellation, whether it be for Dartford or Bromley or Maidstone, and he'll always try and squeeze you in. So please don't be put off by the fact. It's a bit like my gym at the moment. I'm trying to book in for my balance class every Friday, and there must be 25 people that get up at midnight or stay up until midnight on Thursday to book into the class. Because when I tried to book on at 5 o'clock in the morning last Friday, all the spaces had gone.
Oh, no, a minute past midnight.
But you're much more accommodating than that, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, absolutely. And excuse me, you are right. Although we are technically sold out already for the whole year at both Maidstone and Dartford, things happen. Things come up, people go on holiday, one or two people get ill along the way. So, yes, as you say, you weren't technically booked in, but I was able to.
But I still
to
went.
Get you in. Yeah, because there are lots of people on the waiting list, as you know. So,
have you got this week? Tell us.
Well, we're at Dartford this week. So, Dartford on Thursday. So that is as usual, fully booked up. However, you've now decided you can't come, so you need to give me more notice than that. So I do have a place.
Right, there you go.
So I'll auction it accordingly.
Okay. But,
yeah, that place will go. There's plenty of people that want
it. So at Brian's BN on the Twitter, if people want to get in touch with you. And you've also published all of your booking dates on your own website and Supply My Business, so it's all there.
It's all there.
There's, bbnetworking.co.uk, is it?
bbnetworking.co.uk. Right. So, and do try and get past the homepage, because people do say, oh, yeah, I've looked on the website and I can't see any dates or what's the address. But there are actually individual group pages. So Bromley, Dartford and Maidstone all have their own page. There's the dates for the whole year and lots of other stuff going on. So, yeah, shaping up really well. Welcome lots of new people as well. So since the start of the year, we've had probably 18 or 19 new businesses join us. So it's really padded out now.
Good. Well, we look forward to seeing you at a BBN networking pay-as-you-go. Let's stress that point. Networking meeting soon.
Oh, absolutely. And what else have we done since we were last at the show? Or last on the show, I should say, so 2 weeks ago. And the big thing that that strikes me is, did we all pop along to LinkedIn Live?
I certainly did.
I didn't.
Tracy.
Did you not? Trace, what are you doing?
Busy.
You don't go anywhere.
I was busy.
Oh, we certainly did, didn't we? And that was a reasonable event, wasn't it? That was a very big networking event. How many people were there, do we think? 300?
Over 300, I believe, was the number, yeah. So well done, you guys. That's that's Mark Gaisford from Red Sprout Recruitment and Flutterbee Sam. Me event. Sam Beadle did a cracking job. And there were all sorts of helpers there on the night. Andrea Barker and lots of lovely ladies all kind of signing everybody in very efficiently.
Well, but yeah, BBN had a real active presence there, I'm pleased to say. As you say, Andrea Barker and Michelle Dowsett were part of the Reg team on the day, signing everybody in. Gavin Jones did loads of the banners and printing, signage and stuff like that.
Oh, we had Nick, didn't we?
Nick Johnson had his photo booth.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And
he
snapped, I don't know, 150 different businesses doing
it
all for free on the night.
Are you using your new headshot?
No, I will get it uploaded because it's a big head, so it takes a long time.
Oh,
so
I see.
I will get it uploaded. Yeah, you're right, Tracy, actually. You're right. Yeah. So that was good. However, one of the things, phenomenal event, I thought, and they actually had some good speakers on the night, three or four decent speakers. But because there were so many people there and so many people wanting to catch up with people and network, I'm not sure how much attention the speakers actually got.
No.
So, and I did pot, isn't it? And I did pot that on the feedback form for the organisers, is that I think it would have been better just to have a massive, you know, meet the person behind the profile kind of thing, which is what it's based on. So
I think the next one's in June, so maybe they'll take that feedback on board for the next event. But no, you're right, it was a cracking evening. But we've got loads of other stuff we need to talk about, Brian.
Have we?
So
that's good. That's good news in
itself. Let's move on. And I've got an interesting one that we've had in from the Ashford International Hotel, actually. This one's right hot off the press. So their next comedy night is on Friday, the 29th of March. And they're offering a two-course set meal with that. Three comedians. There's also a disco afterwards.
Is that some kind of joke?
Well, exactly. Very good.
They're on fire today, isn't he?
I should be, Tracy. Many people say that.
There's even a disco afterwards for those of us who have still got the energy to...
still got them John Travolta moves.
Exactly, to get up on the dance floor on a Friday
They'll
evening.
They'll be staying alive.
So, basically, they are offering this for, I think the normal set price is £29 per person. So if you're a business that is thinking about something on a kind of alternative level to kind of to thank your staff or just kind of go out and have a bit of a team night out, then what better way to do that than have a night of laughter at the Ashford International Hotel on the 29th of March. There is a you can contact them directly, or there is a booking link on the community page of Supply My Business for that. Brian, over to you.
Well, thanks, Martin.
What else have we got? Bearing in mind, I've just had to sprint the entire length of the studio to get to this other sprint.
You didn't use your chair with the special wheels. I bet you've closed that page down now as well, haven't you?
Yeah, you can do the next one.
I don't know how you did that. It was all set up for him, Tracy, wasn't it? All he had to do was shimmy across the room. Okay, productivity in the construction industry seminar. This is on Thursday, the 2nd of May, and this is with our good friends Oasis.
Yep.
Who specialise in accounting software. So, Tracy, you know them quite well.
Yes.
It's Linda Garcia from Aluxi Consulting. It's our good friend Joe Humphrey from Origin Training, Brian, as well. And basically,
yep, we know Joe.
Yeah, and what they're doing is they're getting together at the London Golf Club again, and they're running a seminar from 9 a.m. to 1:30, and it's really focused around businesses that are in the construction sector that want to understand more about productivity in their business.
It's important.
Really important. Yeah. And I think a lot of what Linda will be doing is talking about pricing, for example, and how if you're not measuring productivity on a kind of on an output level, these wonderful quotations that take you days and days, these tenders that take you so much time to put together, are just going to fall flat on their face, because ultimately the amount of time you spend on a job far outweighs the costs that you've actually put in your cost estimate that you're ultimately going to be billing against. So really important thing to understand that productivity in your business. And I think what Linda will be doing is really kind of honing in on construction-based businesses. I mean, you might be a building company, for example. You might be a small development company. You know, how do you actually charge for an extension to a property? You know, what is the process that you go through in terms of reconciling the hours you're going to spend on that project versus what the client is actually going to be billed?
And they just think of a figure and then double it.
Exactly. And I think, you know, traditionally most accountants, I'm sure, will tell you that you know, most businesses base their fee structure on a third overhead, a third staff, and a third profit. Well, ultimately, if you're spending more time on a job than you've actually allocated in terms of the number of hours, well, it's not going to come out of your overhead or your staff. You're still going to have to pay those costs, but it will certainly affect your bottom line, which is your profit.
Oh, definitely. Time is money.
Time is money. Exactly. So that's Thursday, the 2nd of May. And again, you know, have a look on the Oasis. That's O-A-SYS website, or on Supply My Business, and you'll find all the booking details in that. It's a free-to-attend event, by the way.
Okay.
Right.
A little bit before that, a friend of yours, Terry Botfield.
Yes.
From the Marsh Network. They'll be running a Take Control of Your Business workshop on Thursday, the 28th of March.
Brilliant.
So it's a morning session, £25 a pop. So you can get that on the Supply My Business website or through Terry's own website.
Yeah. So Terry is obviously a business advisor. He also runs a very successful networking group down on Romney Marsh. So if you want some one-on-one advice as a business owner in terms of, it, you know, it might be marketing, for example, you know, pop along to that and spend some quality time with Terry on the day. Talking about Terry's networking group, he's also got Marsh Networking Over Coffee, 10 a.m. this Wednesday down at the St. Paul Arms in New Romney. So if you are a business that's perhaps based down on the Marsh, or you might be in East Sussex and you're kind of you're looking for networking opportunities, that is a great one to go to. I went to the launch of that a couple of years ago with Terry, and it's grown and grown since then. So there'll probably be about 25, 30 businesses in the room. And again, you don't actually have to book for that event, but there is a suggested £5 donation on the day to a local charity that looks after elderly people in the community.
Mm, good. Okay. Next one on the list is forthcoming network meetings with a setup called BBN that we might know a little bit about. So we've mentioned that earlier, but basically March dates, because we are only on the 4th. So we've got the Wednesday fortnightly meetings at Bromley. So that's the 13th and the 27th. Then we've got Dartford, which are Thursday mornings, alternate, 7th and 21st. And then at Maidstone, we've just had the 1st, but we still have the 15th and the 29th of March on Friday mornings at Maidstone. So more details there are bbnetworking.co.uk, or just find me, Ryan Wakefield.
I can't believe how quickly this has come up as well, but the Marlow Theatre in Canterbury, they have a very popular business club that they run as a theatre. They also do regular networking, and this Friday, the 8th of March, crikey, the 8th of March already, isn't that scary? It's Warhorse Networking, and it's a lunch at the Marlow Theatre. Tracy, have you've been to the Marlow Theatre before, haven't you?
Yes, I actually used to work there.
Oh, did you? Oh, how interesting.
Yeah. Warhorse is fabulous.
Yeah, it is a brilliant show. It's just... started again. It's just on another run at the Marlow. I think it started last week. And to celebrate that, they are running a Warhorse Networking lunch. And I think the cost is about £20. I think they're doing a hearty and warming bowl of stew, as they've described it. There will also be a veggie version. But the great thing about that is you get to go behind the scenes, touch all the puppets, see how it works. And they've actually got the cast appearing there as well on the day.
Wow, fabulous.
To talk to everybody about the show and how it works. And there's always at least sort of 50, 60 people that attend these things. They're very, very popular. Do book on at marlowtheatre.com/business-events, or again you'll find all that information on the Supply My Business website. It's 12 to 2:30, and then why not pop into Canterbury afterwards and do a little bit of shopping?
Yeah, a bit of retail therapy.
Lovely. Right,
tea and a cake somewhere. Cyber liability is still quite a big thing, isn't it? So everybody getting hacked all over the place and losing half their business and what have you, so we need insurance against that. So Invicta Insurance Services, Leon Price, is offering cyber liability insurance from just £50 a year at the moment. So give them a call on 01732 471 965 or have a look on their website.
That's a really interesting one, actually, because obviously Windows 7 is coming to the end of its natural life. At the end of this year.
Are you still on Windows 3, Wyatt?
I am on Windows 7.
Are you sure?
But obviously all support for that ends at the end of the year, which means there won't be any antivirus updates coming down the pipe from Microsoft. So if you are a Windows 7 user and you're intending to carry on using Windows 7, at least get yourself some cyber liability insurance, because you never know what you're opening yourselves up to there. So do take a look at that.
Okay, well, the next one on the list, funny enough, is a credit control training day.
Yes.
Really?
And,
wow, that sounds really interesting.
We may even have somebody in the studio that knows a little bit about it. I bet you want to go to that, Tracy, don't you? So why don't you tell us about that one, Tracy?
This particular course has been set up primarily for SMEs to understand a bit more about what credit management is and how to get paid. So this workshop enables us to deliver our expertise knowledge to the people that attend for various things, running through right from the very beginning, from the onset of the client, how to invoice, how to chase the debts, how to understand your payment terms, building relationships. We also ask that the attendees bring a sample invoice so we can have a review, T's and C's, and their customer take-on form. And with this, by the time they leave, they'll have a workbook to take away with them to actually look at their business themselves and implement some of the things they've learned on the day. And then we will also contact them a month later to see how they've got on. Mm. So it's not just a one-day thing.
There's some follow-up involved as well.
Yes, because our whole premise of doing this is to try and instill some processes within the SMEs out there to make sure that they are going to get paid and be more stable.
Okay.
So it's a completely new concept in training, and that's where we're heading on that one, actually.
So just remind us of the date.
Yes, it's on Tuesday the 19th of March. It's at the Chatham Historic Dockyard, so a fantastic venue, close to all the train stations and motorways and stuff, plenty of car parking, and there's a lunch that goes with it as well, tea and coffees, biscuits even. So, I mean, what more can you ask for?
Brilliant. Okay, so fantastic.
I might even go. I hate credit control, but if there's biscuits, I'm there.
Well done. Right, I think one more before we play a bit of music to introduce Tracy more formally. SNS solicitors based in Maidstone, Denninghoust, are having a hearty breakfast networking for the Heart of Kent Hospice, and it's on Wednesday, the 3rd of April, from 10 a.m. It's free to attend. I went to the last one they held at the office, and again, there were 25, 30-odd businesses in the room. They're also going to be offering, SNS themselves are going to be offering a free, informal, shall we say, consultation with people on the day. So if you have got a burning legal issue that you'd like to kind of get off your chest and just get some initial advice on, they will be available to have those kind of discussions on the day, which I think is brilliant of them to offer that. Mm. But they're obviously doing all of that for charity for the Heart of Kent Hospice. So there is a suggested donation of £5 per guest to the hospice. And I have to say, there'll be one of the you won't be leaving hungry, let's put it that way. The spread that will be on offer, whether it be bacon rolls or pastries or whatever else.
Or hungry for information.
Or hungry for information. So you'll be satisfied all round. So do book yourselves on for that. There is an Eventbrite booking link. It's hearty-breakfast-tickets. Get in touch with SNS Law themselves at SNS_law on the Twitter. Or have a look on the community page of Supply My Business and book yourselves on. So we look forward to seeing you at that as well. I think what we're going to do now, guys, if we can, is play another song. And hopefully,
that hopefully there's a sensible link
seamlessly lead into Tracy and Pecunia.
So I like Guess the Link, best part of the show.
Let's play you some, let's play you a bit of tunage. We'll be right back. Not wishing to cut Dave Gilmore off there in his prime, but we have got a guest in the studio that we'd like to talk to today. Tracy Westall, welcome to Kent Biz Connect.
Thank you very much for inviting me to come along today.
Well, thank you for coming. And Tracy, just for the benefit of everybody listening today, just give us a very brief introduction into Pecunia and what you guys actually specialise in.
Yes, yeah, sure. Pecunia was established a few years ago now. And basically what we deal with is credit management within businesses. And when I say that, it's all about cash flow, getting paid for the work you do, understanding how you can do it more fluidly, get more money in your bank account, have processes and policies, as well as training staff that actually end up doing that job within your business.
Okay, because am I right in thinking it's a bit of a taboo subject, credit management?
Well, the cash flow, the word cash flow is extremely taboo. When I first started, I could probably clear a room just saying, well, that's what I deal with. And I think that it's a really sad state of affairs in this day and age that people still don't want to talk about it, whether it's in business or even in their personal life. And it can come along with so many different issues for an individual or a business. And it's just helping overcome that taboo and actually openly talk to people about struggles or improvement. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a negative thing to talk about cash flow at all.
In fact, what you're very keen to do is turn any negativity into a positive, aren't you?
Because most definitely.
I think a lot of the problems that people ultimately get themselves into, whether it be on a personal level or a business level, come about because they brush it underneath the carpet, and they don't kind of embrace it and think, well, actually, how much better would things be if I took a more positive attitude towards managing my cash flow.
Exactly. I mean, I've done quite a few talks since the beginning of the new year, really, and been doing an extreme amount of networking. And when I do actually speak to people about cash flow, why do you think people don't want to talk about it? The big thing that comes about is that they don't want to be classed as failures. Now, to my mind, that's a really silly thing to start pinning that sort of name on yourself. If I start talking about it, that means I am a failure. I'm putting my hand up to failure. But in my mind, there's two ways of being a failure in life. One is you've got an idea, you really want to do it, but you're too chicken to give it a go. Now, if you give it a go and it doesn't work out quite as you expected it to, you've not failed because you've given something a go.
Right.
But the second one is knowing you're in trouble, but you don't want to ask for help.
And ignoring it.
You've got to face up to it, haven't you?
Exactly. That's the first step. And it is facing up to it. And it's like with a lot of things. And say, for instance, mental health has been in the media and the press for a long time. And it's only really been in the last sort of 3 or 4 years that it's really come into the fore where people are actually being more open to talk about mental health. And look how far that has really pushed on the being open about it. People are getting more help. Now, this is the same sort of thing with cash flow. If you've got money troubles, that also starts to give you anxiety and stress. Whether, as I say, being personal issues or in a business. But in a business, sometimes you've got to think about all the other people you're employing and how you're going to push your business forward. If you don't have the answer to that question, go and find somebody that can help you. And it is not being a failure if you do that.
No.
It is if you go and buy a bucket, fill it with sand and stick your head in it thinking it's going to go away.
Because it will spill over into your personal life as well.
It most definitely does,
yes. You take it out on kids, indoors or whatever.
But then you're holding a lot of things back because you might not want to discuss it with anyone. And then the fight you're having inside your own mind about how to deal with it, you end up getting so foggy that everything you're going to do is going to be bad. Whereas our whole approach to this is let's discuss cash flow. Mm-hmm. Let's discuss about where you are in your business. Mm-hmm. Let's get that money coming in, mm-hmm. because it's all positive. Dealing with that one demon in a business, mm-hmm. and getting it sorted out, mm-hmm. getting some processes in place, getting the education there and the skill set.
And giving people the tools they need to manage it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then that can really help them push their business forward and not worry, right. and have that anxiety. And if something is around the corner that's going to go a bit ski-whiff or a bit wrong for you, mm-hmm. then you've got that time to eradicate that or really temper that down.
I just want to talk, if we can, a little bit about the kind of the legislature that's out there at the moment to help small businesses as well, because there's a, I think it's fairly well known, isn't it, that, you know, there is a late payments culture, mm-hmm. within business generally. And it's interesting in that, I mean, I do quite a lot of work with Kent County Council now. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that compared to businesses that I work with on a kind of day-to-day basis, there seems to be a concerted effort within KCC to raise purchase orders on time, to make prompt payments to suppliers as well. So the public sector, in my experience, have totally embraced the need to make sure that their suppliers are actually paid in accordance with the law, because there is some law out there, isn't there?
Yeah, they've had to, haven't they? Because they don't want to be held responsible, really, for putting lots of their local businesses under pressure or out of business, which is ultimately what happens to a lot of them. And, you know, they can't lead the way by being seen to be really bad payers.
But tell us about the law that exists, because there's European law and there's UK law as well, isn't there? And you were at a meeting on Friday with Kelly Tolhurst, weren't you, the MP for Medway at Dragon Co-working. So tell us about some of that.
Yes, well, that was really interesting, because there was a couple of subject matters that we wanted to discuss. And one was about late payments, and it is rife throughout the country with businesses. Now, one thing that we do have is the prompt payment code. Now, a lot of big businesses have signed up to this, which means that they have to be able to deliver their payment schedules on time to other businesses. So there is a minimal delay in getting that money back to the end user. But also, really big thing, and I've seen this through what I do, is many businesses don't actually take up the Late Payment Act. Now, this is an act of Parliament, so it's law.
Mm-hmm. Is that where you can add late payment penalties on charge interest?
It's charging interest. It's 8% mm-hmm. above the base rate. Mm-hmm. But also, you can gain compensation charges per invoice as well. And if you think about it, if your invoices are being sent out and you've put your profit on there, you know what your profit is going to be on that invoice. Now, if that invoice is supposed to be paid within 7, 14, 30 days, whatever it's supposed to be.
So it's according to your payment terms, not your customer's payment terms.
Yes, I mean,
because there's obviously quite often a mismatch there, isn't there?
Well, that's a very interesting thing, and I've had that before. Mm. Excuse me, whereas, you know, you've checked, like, our payment terms are 14 days, mm-hmm. and that is it. But we have to know them to give them a credit account and do that. Otherwise, if it's just somebody almost coming off the street, somebody I don't know, people just phone me, then it's prepayment. Mm-hmm. But after the 14 days. And I've had instances in the past, and they say, well, we're paying you as per our terms, which is 60 days. And I said, well, our terms aren't. You need to talk to me before. Don't just assume it. Why do they do that?
So is that an important first step to understand? If you're going to do business with somebody, you know, you need to get it out in the open. These are our payment terms. You know, these are your payment terms, but, you know, we need to agree that if we're not going to meet halfway, then, you know, you need to find some other.
I mean, what happens is you set yourself up in a business, and if you've got to look at it from, like, you're building a house. What's the first thing that you need to do when you build a house after you've got planning permission? Is dig a big hole, which is your foundations. Now, the foundations of your business are your terms and conditions. Now, this is well, the Bible of your business. So it basically represents everything that your business does and your business expectations. And in one of those areas will be all about payment. Mm-hmm. So it's about when you get a new client on board or you're negotiating that they want to have a credit account, you discuss the terms and conditions, discuss the payments. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are giving credit, you're invariably lending money.
Mm.
You're a bank.
Mm.
Now, if you're going to a bank and want a loan, what's the first thing they get you to do? Is fill a form.
Sign your life away.
Sign your life away. But the thing is you need to know exactly who that person or that business is.
Mm.
Do your due diligence. Mm. They've already had the discussion with you about what your payment terms and your expectations are and getting paid for the work you do. Once that has all been agreed and you're very happy and you've done your due diligence, if, for example, they send you a purchase order for some work and on there it says out of payment terms are 60 days, you go back to them and say, we've received your purchase order. Mm. Please be advised, as per our terms and conditions, our payment terms are 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this thing called the battle of the forms, which is whatever's laid on that table at the very end, that's the terms.
Mm-hmm.
So if you continually say to them, I'm exercising my right that you have to pay us as per our terms and conditions to which you've signed, then they should adhere to that payment, not their own payment.
There's a couple of really important issues here, aren't there? First is, what do your terms and conditions of business look like, if you have any?
Mm.
I mean, we had that interesting scenario recently, didn't we, with the ferry operator that was going to be running out of Ramsgate using a Chinese takeaway menu.
Free prawn crackers with every 10 crossings.
As their terms and conditions. Fabulous. So, you know, by all means, don't necessarily reinvent the wheel when it comes to the wording, but make sure it's actually tailored and bespoke to your business.
Exactly.
But secondly, you know, if you get into bad habits, you know, on day one, then it's going to be harder and harder for you to then backtrack, you know, on a relationship that you have with a customer, and then, you know, and start to kind of ask for prompt payment. You know, if you've set that precedent that you're not going to chase payment, you know, when payment is due, then, you know, you're going to get into trouble, aren't you?
So can you help businesses with all that kind of stuff as well, Tracy?
Yes, I mean, predominantly what Pecunia is about is helping businesses right from the very start, right from the onset of taking on a customer or a client. We work alongside lawyers and other people as well, that if we find that there's something out of our remit of credit management, that we get their advice as well. So for the instance, the terms and conditions, I'm not a lawyer. So but I can actually give
advice.
But you
can pull that together.
I can pull all of this together and work well with quite a few local law firms in the county that will make sure that everything else within their terms and conditions fall within the right remit for that particular business. A lot of businesses, as you say, you mentioned the ferry company, they plagiarise terms and conditions because they say, oh, that sounds a bit right. That's sort of what we do. No, this is an absolute scaffold of your business. This is what you do. This is your rule book, your Bible. And in a court of law, that is your contract to your clients. Now, when we come back to the talking about getting paid, then yes, you need to ensure that you've had that frank discussion. This we'll do this for you. We can do whatever it is that you're after from us. We can deliver at this such and such a time, but you need to pay us at such and such a time. And make sure that that is really ingrained. That they know exactly where they're at.
The other eye-opener for me recently, because I did come on one of your seminars recently, was, you know, how you lay out your invoice.
Yes.
And people think they know what their invoice is, you know, should look like, and they certainly know what they do look like, but whether or not that actually includes all of the important information is a completely different matter. So quite often, you know, key pieces of information will actually be missing. So,
well, yeah, who they should contact in case of query.
Right.
You should have the payment terms, the invoice date, the due date.
Invoice number, you know, something as simple as
and
that.
There
if you're
are
chasing
lots of people,
payment.
Yeah, that just omit it, aren't they?
Yes.
And your course goes, your seminar goes into all of that detail
we do
as well,
all of
doesn't
that.
It?
We review everything because at the end of it, you know, it's a contract to pay.
Yeah.
You're sending an invoice out as a contract to pay as part of your, you know, and as we go, it goes back to your terms and conditions.
Yeah.
And Brian, you saying about putting the terms and conditions on your invoice, That should not be the first time your customer knows when they've got to pay you.
No.
It has to be stipulated. If you're sending out a quote for job, put it on that as well. Make sure you really hone down the fact that you've told them exactly when your expectations of that money coming in to your bank account are going to be.
Terms and conditions be supplied with every invoice you send or not?
No. I mean, the thing is the whole discussion should be taking place right from the offset. Beforehand. If you buy a car, you sign terms and conditions on a finance agreement. Right.
So is it unreasonable to request that customers that you're about to start doing business with sign a copy of your terms and conditions?
You can
so
do that
should be a that part
be,
of it.
Yeah, it should be part and parcel of it.
Yes.
Because then it states that they've actually read and understood. I know a lot of people don't like to sit there and read all the small print, but it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be 20 pages long.
No.
It just needs to be direct enough and easy to understand for somebody to, you know, and if anyone's got any questions about T's and C's, then go back to the company that's delivered them to you and say, I'm not quite sure about, I understand how this works. But going back on actually then chasing the payment, people have this really big thing about, well, I don't like asking somebody to pay me, which I find is absolutely ridiculous. And especially with a lot of SMEs that are dealing with bigger customers, bigger corporate companies or big businesses. But at the end of the day, are you seriously going to have a conversation with whoever you did that deal with for that particular job to chase them for money? Or are you actually going to be speaking to somebody that's in the accounts department that actually doesn't know you from Harry? And it's about how you do this, and it's about how you communicate, get your facts across, get your point across, and it's creating that customer service, really, which is all part and parcel of a credit controller's job.
Because we were talking about that earlier, weren't we, where... I mean, on a personal level, I find it much easier to have that discussion with somebody face to face.
Yes.
And, you know, represent the invoice and just, you know, politely remind them that, you know, it's overdue and it hasn't been paid. And then, you know, invariably 9 times out of 10, people take that away and they action it. But if you don't see your customers face to face on a kind of day to day basis like that, you know, picking up the phone and, you know, effectively, you know, speaking to somebody that you may not know in the accounts department, or, you know, how do people overcome those barriers to kind of to chasing late payment on invoices?
Well, I think that's a very good point, because saying earlier about getting them to sign terms and conditions, it's presumably something now where it has to be emailable and et cetera, because for that very point, it's less and less business these days is done face to face, isn't it? You know, you could be dealing with somebody in Scotland or, you know, abroad, but it's not necessarily somebody that you're in kind of daily physical contact with.
And I think that because of the job as credit controller has always been deemed as the worst job ever, because you've got to ask people for money. I mean, us, don't we ask anybody for money?
Right. But at the develop end of the very day, thick skins, don't they, credit controllers?
But it doesn't even have to be like that. It's about having the confidence. In all the time I've been in credit management, I can honestly say, hand on heart, I've never, ever lost a customer or a client for asking them to pay for something. No. The only time in business that you are going to lose that customer is through two ways. Either really bad customer service, or the service or product you've supplied that business has been substandard. Because nobody's going to pay for something that was not what they were requesting and what they'd expected.
Or perhaps it isn't, but they're going to argue that it is as a way of getting out of paying.
But the reality is some people just aren't comfortable doing that. So what's your advice then? I mean, you're running the seminar that you've got coming up this month. Is it a question of saying, okay, look, as a business owner, that's not going to be your direct responsibility, but it needs to be someone's responsibility? And so is it then a question of finding somebody within the organisation that, you know, that should have that direct responsibility and that is accountable for delivering that?
Well, yes. I mean, it depends what the business structure is going to be, and whether or not the person that's running the business, if it's a small business, then it probably is going to be the owner of the business. But you've got to look at it from the point of view that you need to have a rapport with that client of yours. So it's all about getting a rapport with your client, getting to understand them, getting to understand their business. But at the end of the day, they've come to you for whatever it is that you're supplying, because they know that you're the best place to go to. They know they're going to get what's basically written on a tin, and that they're going to get a really good customer service as well. So to ask for somebody to pay, that is not your embarrassment.
No.
That is their embarrassment. And we really should get over the fact that we are embarrassed to ask for somebody to pay for something that you've laboured on, you've taken time to do. You know, it could be something you've created. So you've used your creative abilities. Some people in business, they've taken years to get qualified in what they do. So, yes, they need to be paid because they've put the time in to get to the position where they are, because somebody else wants that service from them. So, yes, ask them to pay.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and it is really about making sure that you have the standard. You're proud of your standard of work. You're proud of your business. And being proud of your business shouldn't be taken away by the lack of asking to be paid.
No. No, I mean, I was just playing devil's advocate, really, in terms of, you know, some people, you know, they are business owners, but they're not necessarily, you know, a good people person, if that makes sense, you know, and therefore, you know, in the same way that, you know, they're not particularly good at networking because they struggle to talk about their business in front of a group of people in 60 seconds.
Or just talk to people full stop.
Or talk to people full
stop.
They
live their whole life through a mobile device.
Exactly.
Or by email.
You know, so they're not going to be comfortable picking up the telephone to have that discussion either. So, but the point is, somebody's got to, you've got to make sure you've got a system and a process in your business for managing that critical function.
I mean, credit management is all about looking after a very, very important asset in your business, which is your sales ledger. Now, I've said this before, that the sales ledger is where all your invoices go. So your asset, that's your cash flow. That's everything that's going to be coming in. If you're going to get somebody to do that job, to look after that beating heart of your business with no skill set, with no mentoring, with no training, and an absolute hatred for even trying to do this particular job, you will fail.
Yes.
Purely on the basis that you have to have somebody that's going to take the bull by the horns, have the confidence, have the training, have the skill set, because that individual is actually going to make sure your cash flows through your business. The beating heart of your asset is going to pump very well. They're going to have all the attributes of what a credit controller should have, which is not just chasing debt. It's having credit management experience. It's having customer service experience. It's having sales experience.
You've just described, I would suggest, over 90% of small business owners and their complete inability in terms of being qualified to do that job. But we could come to someone like you, for example, and I can outsource that function. I don't have to get involved directly with that. I can brief Pecunia to manage that function for me in my business, presumably.
And that's what we've gone towards, I'm pleased to say, over the last year or two in particular, I've noticed, is that, yeah, people can't be all things to all men. And most people that launch businesses are predominantly of some kind of sales background, and that is it. They're not even very good at marketing, let alone systems and processes and credit control or forecasting or any of that. So
they're just good at what they do.
They're good at what they do, and be proud of that. Just carry on. If that's your forte, just carry on being good at what you do. Don't try and be good at all the other things. Jack of all trades, master of none. So we've seen a huge upsurge lately in like smart PAs and stuff like that.
Well, that's a really good point. I was going to come
fantastic.
On to that.
So let them do all that and get you organised. We know some brilliant ones.
Yeah.
So and in terms if they're not of good, people that should be coming on your course this month.
Well, it basically,
you know, it could well be VAs, for example, who are looking to offer that as an extension
to their business,
to their service offering to their clients. They could be going to them and saying, look, I know this is going to be a problem. It is for the vast majority of business owners. We can offer that as a service. You know, once a month, we will look at your sales ledger and we will make the necessary phone calls and follow-up.
Interesting you use the term VA there, because that's something else I think that's disappearing, is the virtual assistant thing, is because a lot of them, I use the term smart PA, because a lot of them, it's, well, virtual, you don't exist. It's somebody on the end of a phone or a computer. Not the case, you know. They'll see you and they'll come and into your office and stuff. As you know, can you do that kind of stuff, Tracy, as well? Are you prepared to go into people's offices half a day a week or whatever and work on that?
There are the facilities to do that. And the thing is what we really drive for, first and foremost, is to make sure you've got the right processes in place to start with. If you do end up, and we've got quite a few bookkeepers that we know are now looking to get qualified in credit management, purely on the basis that they know for a fact that as a bookkeeper, they need to diversify a bit more and to take on that particular part of the job, because it all sort of interlinks. And it's the same with, you know, you go to specialists, you go to an accountant to do your accounts, but accountants, unless they've got a speciality within there, they're not going to be doing the cash flow credit management stuff that we do.
They're rubbish at chasing their own bills.
well, it's interesting. I mean, we've got a good accountant, well, several good accountants in our network, but one of them specifically stood up a couple of weeks ago and said that go and get a bookkeeper, and then a bookkeeper will keep your books really well to begin with, to give to the accountant in good fashion, in good format.
And I mean, at the end of it, if you've got an asset in your business, yes, you can outsource it, but it is your asset, so why would you give it to somebody else? Yeah. If you have the ability to keep it in-house, get somebody that's really trained, get somebody that's really on the ball, not only are they going to collect your debt, they're really going to really boost your business. They're going to be able to even do a bit of sales on your behalf, because they'll get to speak to the other part of the business.
Well, they're going to pay for themselves, aren't they? I mean, if you know, any business has bad debts. I mean, it'd be quite easy to work out, you know, if you could reduce that bad debt by 70% by having you know, somebody that's responsible for that function in your business, I'm sure it would pay for itself.
So if they're kind of pulling you in late then, Tracy, and you've not originally set up the right systems and processes and things like that, they're pulling you in late and it's okay, there's all these people that owe us all this money that's now 120 days plus.
We can still help with them. I mean, we do a lot of work with IPs as well, insolvency practitioners, and I know you had Adrian on the other week. And I will absolutely echo what he said, is if you have a problem, seek the help straight away. Please don't waste time and bury your head in the sand. Get somebody to help you. There are people out there that can help stabilise your business. If it goes far too down that run, then you might not have any way of turning back up that hill.
Same advice that Adrian's given. I just want to bring this back to your seminar, because we're sort of fast running out of time. We've only got a couple of minutes left.
We haven't even mentioned the fact that Tracy's bought in the most wonderful bag of 5 jam donuts.
Well, there's not
you're
five,
on a diet, Dave.
There's not 5 left now, bro.
No, there isn't.
So Tuesday the 19th of March. So whether you're a smart PA, a virtual PA, a bookkeeper that's looking to get formally qualified, because there is a formal qualification there that you're referring to as well.
Yeah, we can do that, yes.
A firm of accountants.
Anybody that is
in business. A business owner, someone looking to delegate responsibility to a team member. Any of those people, ultimately, they're relevant for this course that you're running.
And any business that last time they MOT'd their process was the day they set their business up, and they've been going a couple of years now, come along. This will be an invaluable course. This will now set you in a position to understand where your money is going to have to come from. And I cannot stress enough, it is my mission this year to rid the taboo of discussing cash flow.
Brilliant.
So join me and make sure that you are going to be out there screaming from the hilltop saying, yes, my cash flow is great, but you know what? I'm going to be proactive and get things in place just in case a bad happens.
I'm in the minority. I love talking about money and chasing people for it.
Right, Tracy, how do we get in touch? At Pecunia2016 on the Twitter?
Yes, on the Twitter. We're also on LinkedIn. If you want to try and find our course, which is a credit control for SMEs, we are on Eventbrite. I have been putting it on LinkedIn and Twitter. We're also on Facebook. And if you need to give us a call, you can phone me on 07403 287595. Happy to discuss any issues discussed today. Or email at Tracy, that's T-R-A-C-E-Y, at pecunia2016.co.uk. And I really look forward to hearing from you.
It's 53 ways of finding her there.
We are out of time, guys. Oh. So thank you so much, Tracy, for coming in today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Tracy.
You've been absolutely brilliant. We are going to play everybody out now with a bit more tunage, just to kind of reinforce the point.
A bit more linkage.
Don't labour too much on the lyrics of this one. Just focus on the money side of it, I think. And we look forward to talking to you again in a couple of weeks' time, don't we, Brian?
2 weeks' time, Monday the 18th of March, when our studio guest will be the infamous Gareth Powell for Play Mountain, talking about he's a videographer, filmmaker, all that kind of stuff.
Brilliant. So until then, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Bye.
Bye.